Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Kuf Chaf Hey, Baba Basra 125A, pagination is 249. We'll start from the last three words on the page, and then we'll move on to the actual story. One of the common situations in the cases of Yerusha inheritance is that a person would like to create some sort of trust, some sort of agreement, where a specific person inherits or gets the property for a period of time, and then afterwards, the property goes to a different person. A classic example would be if a man has children from a first marriage, and now he marries a second woman. Perhaps his first wife died. He's married to a second woman. He wants that this woman should get all the property during her lifetime, but afterwards he wants the property to go to his descendants. He doesn't want it to go to her descendants. Perhaps. A variety of other possibilities where the person wants a trust type of situation, which then has a new directive upon the passing of that first recipient. So the Gemara describes such a case, and through it, we're going to get a glimpse, just a start, on this complex topic. Hahu de Omaluhu, a person who said, Nechasei l'safta, my property should go to the grandmother, Ubasra liyarsoi, and after her, upon her passing, it should go to my inheritors. Okay? That's his statement. Havya liberata, at the time of his passing, he had a daughter, Dahava Nesiva, and she was married. Shechiva b'chaye baila u'v'chaye safta. The property, of course, went to the grandmother, as he said, and in the interim, this daughter, who would have been slated to get the property upon the passing of the grandmother, she ended up passing away during the lifetime. Her husband is still alive at the time of her passing. The grandmother was still alive. Basa de Shechiva Safta, so then eventually the grandmother passed away. Asa Baal Katova, and the husband came and he claimed the property for himself. His logic, of course, is that the property was designated to go to his wife, and he is the inheritor of his wife. The fact that his wife is no longer with us to inherit, but that's the husband's claim. Omer Rav Huna said, Liyarsi va'afilu liyarse yarsi. Rav Huna said, when he said, to my inheritors, it would include even the inheritors of the inheritors, and we'll have to figure out what the mechanics are of such a statement, but it would go to the husband. For Rav Onan Omar, and Rav Onan argued and said, Liyarsi v'lo liyarse yarsi. It would go to a living relative, but if that relative is not alive, it does not go as classic Torah Yerusha goes bekever to that person's inheritors. Instead, it would stay in the possession of the grandmother as she dies, and it would go to her inheritors. Shalchu mitam, they sent a message. Hilchus HaKavose D'Rav Onan V'Lav Mitaimei. We hold that the ruling is like Rav Onan, but not because of his logic. In other words, the husband does not get the property, but not because of the reasoning that Rav Onan said that it has to be a living relative. Hilchus HaKavose D'Rav Onan, we agree with Rav Onan D'Ba'al Lo Yaris, that the husband does not inherit. His wife was already passed away. For life mitaimei, but not for the reason that Rav Onan gave, that we're looking for a living relative. De'ilu Ravonan Sova, because according to Ravonan's logic that we're looking for a living relative, afagav da'avi le buro livrate lo yoris. If there would have been a son to that daughter, Ravonan would hold, it's not an inheritance. I'm looking for a direct inheritor of me that's living, and if there isn't, it stays by the grandmother. And that would be Rav Anan's Shita. Velohi, and we, those who sent the message, the Bnei Ma'arava, disagree. De'ilu hava le'bura livratei vada yoris, because if there would been a son to the daughter, he certainly would have inherited. There's definitely a concept of Yerusha Bekever that, just like Torah inheritance works, that person is the closest relative and their descendants would inherit. Ubal hainu taimab, so why do we agree that the husband does not get the property, delo yaris? Mishum dahava le ra'ui, ve'ena bal nota le b'ra'i kiva muchzak. Because a husband only gets what she, the wife, has. But what's coming to her, he doesn't get. Similar to the expression that we had by Bechor, the Bechor inherits whatever's there at the time of the passing. But what comes later, the Bechor doesn't get a double portion, he inherits just like everybody else. And therefore, the ruling from the Bnei Ma'arava is that the husband indeed can't get it because his wife passed away before this Yerusha became available. But it's not limited to the living relatives that are close, first-level relatives of the person. It would go to his inheritors, and if they're not alive, to their inheritors. And that's indeed how we paskin. Let's continue in the Gemara, though. Mechlal de Rav Huna sova bal nota b'roi kivamuchzik. Are you telling me that Rav Huna, who holds that the husband gets, is holding because it's coming, even though it's not here, which is a substantial machlokes? Amar Rav Elazar, davar zaniftach b'gedola v'nistayim b'ktanim. This thing has been discussed by great people. The logic of Rav Huna is kala omer acharecha ka omer me'ach shavdomi. When a person says, I want to give it to this person and then to the other person, according to Rav Huna, what he's really doing is he's giving it to the second person now with a condition of sorts, a rights of sorts, that someone else can use the property until they're passing. And that's what happened over here. He basically is giving the property to his inheritor, but he's making a condition that it should first go to this grandmother, and upon her passing, it will follow the Yarsoi, the inheritors. So the reason that we disagree with Rav Huna is that Rav Huna is learning such a gift as being given to the daughter now during her lifetime. And therefore, even though she passes before the grandmother, the husband gets it because it was owned by his wife, just that someone else had the rights to use it, like a rental. But fundamentally, it belonged to his wife and therefore he inherits. We don't agree that the wording that was used works as a me'achshav, but the Mechaber in Siman Resh Mem Ches Sif Tes concludes the discussion by saying, "Ilu Omar, had the man said, L'cheshatamos hazakena, harehem levito me'achshav, when the elder will pass away, you should know, it really belongs to my daughter from now, just that the grandmother has the rights to use it during her lifetime. But really, it's the daughters from now, Hayahabal Yorishosam." If he really did articulate that, then indeed the husband would have inherited Achamisas Ishto, even if his wife dies before the grandmother, because if the wording is Me'achshav, then it would be binding. The Chiddush that Rav Huna was saying is that he held that that's automatically understood me'achshav, and we don't automatically understand me'achshav. Instead, it would go to the inheritor, and from there to their inheritors. But if you purposely said the word me'achshav, then indeed, the husband would inherit this property that went to his wife during her lifetime. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.